This is CliffCentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law. Like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is the Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Alongside me today, Lionel Makoka-Kela. Welcome, Lions.
Afternoon, Gary. Madagwana to all our podcasters.
Cool. Today we're discussing pro bono, which is the little translation into English from Latin is free. Pro bono legal services, free legal services by attorneys. It's a real need when you can't afford your lawyer.
I can't afford my lawyer. His rates are way too high. But he says my case is strong. And he knows the judge. My lawyer is a liar. I doubt he's on my side, and if I don't
pay... That's for you, Lionel.
Well, where do you find all this
music? You always have basting us in turns. Joining us today, Lions, on this particular aspect is a gent called Dakalo Singo of Worksman's Attorneys Pro Bono Department. What's your... Are you the head of it, or...?
I'm not the head of it. The head of the department is Mr. Harold Jacobs. But I am part of the team together with Naledi Motsiri and Harold Jacobs. But I'm certainly not the head of the department.
Cool. Well, you speak on behalf of the department. Thank you for making your way here. I know how busy you people are. You render a wonderful service. I'm proud of you for doing it. Worksmen spent a lot of money on this. And the reason I got you here today, may I mention there's a lady called Louise Bick, who I know very well. I think you know her well.
Yes, and I did.
Yeah. She was also, I think, one of the founders of Pro Bono.
Yes, she was. She did very phenomenal work there. She started that Yeovil matter with me before.
Oh, did she?
Before she left, yeah.
Okay. Well, that goes back years.
It is. Yeah. It was one of our biggest litigation matters in our Pro Bono department, as it was a fairly new department, and we've taken it full on. It was a wonderful experience where I got to share a lot of the admin that comes with this matter with some juniors and myself as well, because you don't normally get to handle a matter of this size and magnitude in litigation. So it was a wonderful learning experience for us in the firm.
In case you don't know who the other voice is, if you haven't listened to the first podcast of today, please listen to that one. It's about Shabins, and we're talking to Anele Kumalo. She's also an attorney at Worksmans. She handled that matter. Today we're discussing, or the second podcast now, we're discussing pro bono generally. People come to your door, Dakalo. Who can get free legal services? Who's entitled to it?
We represent mainly indigent individuals with pro bono matters of different sorts. To qualify for pro bono legal services, generally you have to meet the means test, which requires that you earn, well, you either be unemployed, or if you are employed, you earn below 7,000 rand a month. Yeah. In some instances, if you exceed the means test, in the sense that you do not qualify in terms of the 7,000 rand, if your matter is considered to be one of public interest, we might take your matter on as an individual, and that's the first body of people that we represent. The second body of people is, of course, organizations, public interest of organizations, NGOs, NPOs, organizations which have as their aim dealing with human rights issues, social transformation, and general social justice issues. So to qualify for our services, you have to qualify for the means test as an individual in the manner that I've explained, or you must be an organization that deals with public interest, social justice, and human rights issues, looking to affect social transformation.
I believe you have an office in, is it Diepsloot?
Yes, a bulk of the work that we get from individual members of the public is sourced from our clinic, the Diepsloot Law Clinic, Which
can people walk in there, indigent people, and ask you for advice on anything really, on their arrear motor car installments? I mean, will you help them?
We deal with general legal issues there. We advise and assist on general legal issues. Mm. Our Dipsloot clinic sits on Tuesdays between 9 and 12 o'clock. Mm. We have attorneys, usually myself and a lady, who staff the clinic, and some of our colleagues from the different departments in the firm. Mm. And we advise general members of the public who come in on a first-come, first-served basis. There will be some members of the public who call our offices to arrange for appointments for consultations, and they can do that on 011-535-8358. Or they can send myself or Naledi an email requesting an appointment.
Worksmans is spelled WERKSMANS.
Yes.
Works, Watsmans in Afrikaans.
Yes, yeah. That would be the Afrikaans version of it, yes.
Let's talk about a very big matter such as this one that Anele was involved, the Shabeen matter.
Right.
That is funded, the whole case, if I understand it, is funded by Worksmans.
It is indeed.
The paperwork, the sheriff's fees, whatever goes with it.
All the legal services and the disbursements relating to the matter are funded by the firm. Sorry,
this particular matter, if it was a paid matter, would run into hundreds of thousands, if not maybe millions.
It would have been millions, because like you said, it's the sheriffs contacting the 3,000 respondents that we were told by the government to notify of this application. So there's quite a lot involved in running an application of this magnitude, and Worksmans generously offered to pay for everything, and we'd sometimes rely and ask some of our clients for assistance with fulfilling a particular task, and they readily helped.
Good. Now the million dollar now is, you succeeded in this case, the Shabeen case. Did the judge order someone to pay the legal fees, and who was that someone?
They did. The costs were awarded in our favor, and the first and I think the second respondents are liable for those.
Can
costs.
I call it the government?
Correct.
The government now has to pay your legal fees, including the advocate's fees.
Correct.
Just to add on that.
Please do. Yeah.
On a recent public interest matter that I worked on, which involved, again, government, we also were awarded costs. Including the cost of two counsel. It was the state capture review matter, if you might remember it. The president obviously famously lost that case, and we were, like Anele in the Shabeen case, we were awarded costs in that matter as well. So
now, how does it work in practice? Do you go and tax a bill of costs before the taxi master?
We do.
Yes.
Who retains those fees?
Well, they go back into the kitty for the Probodo department, so they then become the running cost for helping Tagalo and Naledi get to Dipsloot and do all those smaller admin fees. So the fees don't come back to the
A lot rides on this.
Correct.
If you win a case, your fees could also be, well, you only get the cost according to the tariff.
Correct.
Which is much less than Worksmans would charge their clients, because you base yours on an hourly rate.
Correct.
This is like a tariff, like medical aid tariff.
Correct.
Much, much cheaper, but still, going into the coffers is a fortune of money. So if you lose this case, you get nothing. By winning it, it promotes the whole thing. It's like a...
Yes, and it funds further matters that will benefit other people.
And if I may also add, Takala's in the pro bono department. I'm in the general commercial department. Litigation department. So when we work on these matters as fee earners, we are working for free basically as well. So it doesn't go towards our KPIs or whatever. It's work that the firm encourages us to do on an annual basis to assist the firm with its overall pro bono hours. So we also derive no benefit from this.
Okay, so you can't go on holiday on the fees that you won.
No.
No, on the cost that you won.
No.
Okay, where you do score, Anele, is that you pick up a hell of a lot of experience.
Completely.
Unbelievable experience. To go to court in a matter of this nature for any attorney is a thrill, isn't it?
It is, and the number of interlocutory applications that we have, so we would go to the judge to ask us for a order allowing us not to serve by the sheriff, but to serve using a newspaper or by a radio announcement. Also had to go to courts to stop the government from actually processing any further applications. So those are all small in-between matters that we had over the border scheme that we were so thrilled to be a part of and learned quite a lot from.
A lot of candidate attorneys at the firm take on pro bono work for that very reason. They get to learn and develop experience from matters that they would not ordinarily get from their own departments or teams. So it's a very good way to get experience quickly when you take on pro bono work.
Do either of you attorneys want to brag about your results at university? Are you cum laude graduates? Or?
No.
Because I know Worksmiths take the top lawyers.
No, not me.
No, not you.
I'm a proud Vitsi, but I was not a cum laude.
Okay, doesn't matter. Okay, what happens if you would have lost the case and the court, would the court have possibly have awarded the costs to the government? That happens, or not often, but it does.
It can happen, but yeah. We had made provision for that, and we had argued that should the judge not find in our favor, that we costs would not be awarded against us because we had been acting on a pro bono basis. So it would be to Worksmen's detriment if they were to receive an adverse cost order.
Yeah, my experience as a pro bono lawyer, when you appear in court, you usually have to notify the judge or the magistrate that you're a pro bono lawyer or that you're acting pro bono.
Okay.
It helps in that in the sense that when they make a ruling, if it's an adverse ruling to your client, they will usually not award costs against your client because they understand that the costs will be incurred by your client. So in many pro bono matters, if you do not succeed, usually they will not award costs against your client, but that's not always the case. It sometimes happens that they will award costs against your client.
I'm sure in your time, Dakala, you've done some really heartwarming cases where people have been the downtrodden, have really got a bad deal before they got to you. Give us some examples of some of the great victories that you've had at pro bono, Worksmen's.
Well, we take on a lot of matters and we get very many different results for our clients. I mean, just last week we got an outcome from CSOS. It's the ombudsman dealing with community schemes for an elderly lady, 81 years old, who was having a problem with the body corporate of the building that she lived in, and we had a victory there in the sense that it's hard to explain, but we succeeded in representing her in the sense that the matter that she took to the ombudsman was in her favor. Another matter, like I said very recently, was the judgment with the state capture review on the 13th of December. But generally speaking, we have many matters in which individuals have small victories. For example, just last week as well, I was at the CCMA and I represented a certain lady in a pro bono matter where she was happy with the outcome. The matter was settled, but she was happy with the outcome. So we do a lot of matters and we get a lot of results, and some of them don't go away. It's a reality of litigation.
It's hard. I know as a lawyer, it's hard.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you've got an obstinate and stubborn opponent, and they don't want to budge.
Exactly. Mm. But I believe that most of the matters that we take on, we do end up succeeding in. And it's because of the energy and enthusiasm employed by colleagues in the firm that work on the matters.
You know that it's become compulsory, I think, for attorneys to do pro bono, but only like 24 hours a year or something.
Yeah.
You people are running these off this permanently. So I mean, you are a big firm and you've got lots of money. You've just put up a new building, so we don't feel sorry for you. Have you seen the building, Lyons? The one in Saturn.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Have you guys moved in comfortably?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, we have.
Yeah, Lyons,
in the pro bono, how much preparation is actually needed to really become a very good litigant or good opponent attorney?
That's a very difficult question to ask. It depends on what gets put on your table. It might equip you on interview skills, court appearances, the drafting of pleadings. So it depends, and it's all dependent on what exactly gets put on your plate. But because we have two dedicated lawyers and they rely on us, the lawyers in the non pro bono department, we all have the benefit of getting a wide variety of experience. We had 2 weeks ago, I think last month, a candidate attorney who appeared in the magistrate's court and assisted one of our clients in getting a protection order against a victim of domestic abuse. So those are skills that you ordinarily wouldn't obtain in the normal commercial sense, but they become available through these matters, and people get to to actually give back to the community in those ways.
Yeah, and the level of preparation required when any attorney working even on a pro bono basis, when they get involved in a matter, it doesn't matter that it's pro bono. The level of preparation required, the level of preparation they undertake is exactly the same as if it were a paying or fee-earning matter.
Maurice, you were involved, Maurice Smithers, you were involved in the Shabeen case. You will be in the prior podcast. You worked with Worksmans throughout. How was the service? Were you treated as though you were any normal client or as a pro bono client, non-paying?
No, absolutely.
Did they give you tea and coffee as well when you got...
They did. They were amazing. We would never have been able to bring this case had it not been for the work that Worksmans and other big law firms do. We went through an organization called Pro Bono, which is based at Constitutional Hill.
They also do great work.
Yeah. They do great work, and they play a role in channeling clients to...
They've got limited resources as well.
Correct. Yeah. So they play a role in channeling people to the big firms, and that's, they facilitated this for us, and we would never have been able to do it otherwise. But as far as the level of... professionalism and expertise and so on, it was extraordinary that we were given. And I think sometimes we, in fact, as the client, kind of didn't put enough effort in because, you know, we were all busy doing other things and so on. And we kind of slowed them down sometimes because we didn't provide information quickly enough. But nevertheless, they soldiered on. And you were talking about costs. I mean, we had to sign, I had to sign every year. And the figures were extraordinary. You know, I don't know if I should mention the figures here, but you know, I think that in the 4 years it was close to R1 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The question that so many people ask is, if I'm below the threshold of 7,000 or so, then I can come as an indigent person and get free legal advice.
Yes.
But if I'm not, there's nowhere I can go.
Well,
if I'm a normal guy who's earning 20, 30,000 rand a month and I need legal help, unless I have legal insurance or something, there's bugger all I can do, really. I can't afford a lawyer. Well, what must I do?
Well, it depends on the nature of the legal problem, I guess. But also, there are different lawyers who might be more affordable than lawyers at Worksmans, if you want to say that. But some people will take on matters on a pro amico basis, for example.
Well, very few. I mean, lawyers also got to make a living.
This is true.
There is one scheme that the Law Society is trying to promote. It's called the First Interview Scheme. You can get to any lawyer in your area, just check with them which lawyers participate, and the lawyer will give you the first interview for a half an hour, no charge. 99% of lawyers will do that through the Law Society. Just make sure that he doesn't encourage you to go to court because he wants the case.
Yeah.
But you can sit with him, just check with the Law Society of a lawyer in your area, and he'll send you there, and you get the first initial interview, mahala, for free gratis.
True.
It's a good one.
They do also employ a means test of their own, so it's also important to consider what their means test will be on their website.
Mm. Okay. Maurice, anything you want to add to the discussion, or you happy with the result? It all worked out for you?
We are totally delighted with the result, and I mean, it's a victory not just for the Yeovil community. In fact, we weren't doing it for the Yeovil community because, like I said, there was about in the previous interview, there was only about 20 Shabeens in the area. There's 16,000 in Gauteng, so there are a huge number of people in communities who honestly feel disempowered. They feel as though they don't have any say over these things. They feel as though there's nothing they can do. And this has shown that it is possible to do something, although, as I said, it wouldn't have been possible without the pro bono support of Worksmans.
Yeah.
But it's very important that people do take these issues on, because otherwise... And we're not even really knocking government for doing what they did. They were trying to solve a problem.
Yeah.
They did it wrongly. Yeah. They did it incorrectly. But they were trying to solve a very real problem. So we're not even knocking government for trying to solve the problem, but we're saying that they have to listen to people. It's too easy for government to just push ahead with something and not listen to community. Participatory processes are tedious. They cost money. They cost time. But the Constitution guarantees them, as Anele pointed out earlier on in Section 33, and so government has to respect that and has to respect the rights of people. So for us, this is a major victory for that, not just for the Shabeen issue.
That's the voice of Maurice Smithers. I think people may want to get hold of you. You've got a lot to offer across the board. You're just very, very knowledgeable on most things. Liquor, development of the...
Well, in terms of the liquor issue, yeah. I would encourage people to go to this website, www.saapa.net. That's www.sapa.net, yeah, which is the Southern African Alcohol Policy Alliance. And there they can find out what we're doing in South Africa and what's happening in seven other Southern African countries. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite happy for people to email me directly at sapa.southafrica, one word, southafrica@gmail.com.
I want to talk to you, if you don't mind, maybe in a week or so, about illegal churches. I know we've discussed illegal shabins. Yeah. Illegal church is another serious issue, driving people crazy, both within urban areas and in the parks, coming out of the parks, driving me crazy as well.
But I'm not sure if I'd call them illegal churches, but let's talk about unauthorized churches.
We'll talk about this.
Mm.
We'll create another show on this one. We don't want to give too much away. Right. Many thanks to Legal Talk, our collaborative partner. I had a few questions that I didn't get to put to you guys, I'll answer them in some way or another in another show. Many thanks to you, Anelo Kumalo. Well done. You changed South Africa. That's what happens here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It changes South Africa. And to the esteemed gent who is part of probono.org, give your full names and how people can get hold of you.
I'm part of the Pro Bono Department of Worksmen's. My name is Dakalo Singo. My email address is dsingo@worksmen's.com. You can also contact Naledi Motsiri, nmotsiri, MOTSIRI @worksmen's.com. Or you can go to our website and access the Pro Bono page there.
These are dedicated lawyers, Lions.
Yeah.
Great, isn't it?
Great work. Dakaro, before you go, are you from Venda?
Yes, I am.
Which part of Venda are you from?
I live in a little town called Tsibasa.
Oh, I know Tsibasa. I know Dutuni as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk after the show. Yeah. Good. Has the boss, our new president, or to be, has he seconded you yet to be part of his cabinet or not yet?
Not yet. I'm
we may lose. Works a bit of prepare. We may lose you to some greater heights. But good luck to you.
Thank you.
Lovely show. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Law like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.